it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time to go across the NFC East. Always choose your own adventure. So do you want Eagles, Cowboys, Commanders, or Giants?
Who's first in the division right now, Kevin?
The Eagles and the Commanders.
As the Cowboys are tied for second place.
They are not.
In the NFL.
They are tied for 17th.
That doesn't make any sense. There's only two records in the NFL right now.
But 16 of them.
Or 0-1.
But 16 are 1-0. So that means it's tied for 17th.
877-881-1053.
Stop it.
Are the Cowboys tied for second or 17th place? You make the call.
So your answer is remember either that, yes. On,
was it This Week
like
in Baseball?
Facts.
You make the call.
Yes.
I used to love that, and I was always right because the umpires were wrong. Kevin, let's go with the Philadelphia Eagles as they are currently in the first place.
All right. So a couple things about the Eagles, and you're going to see this with the Commanders as well. They committed 110 yards in penalties, nearly all of them on defense. Now, I know a lot of times you'll get dinged up with like the lengthy pass interference, and you saw that right on Thursday night or heard it right here on 105.3 The Fan, and it's just one game. But if you're an elite team or a team that has aspirations of being elite once again, that kind of number feels like it's absolutely not going to cut it.
Yeah, no, and I wonder, is Jalen Carter missing a part of that?
Yeah, well, I think that stands to reason because one of the things we've talked about is penalties frequently happen when you get beat. Well, think about the symbiotic nature of the defense. If Jalen Carter's not there disrupting the line of scrimmage, it feels less likely that you get pressure on the quarterback and more time to maybe throw the ball.
So do you think then that the Cowboys' lack of penalties is also conducive to that thought?
I do not think that it hurt at all not having Jalen Carter there.
He probably created a couple more holds or maybe
yes.
An offside a false start because hey man, we got to block that guy. Interesting. Here's the thing: they're a very talented team. Now they can win a game like they won against the Cowboys last Thursday with those types of penalties. They can beat bad teams that way. They're also good enough to beat good teams and also have a lot of penalties as well. But I don't think that they want to play that kind of game. It'll wind up coming back to haunt them if they continue to let that happen. But when you have success like they had last year, you do start to get to the, hey man, we're good. You know, we're the champs. We're the defending champs. Those little things, the little disciplines that you have to do, you don't think about as frequently, and that could be a big problem for them this year. I think so.
Now, this I found to be a stunning bit of information. Did you know that this was the first time since week 15 of 2023 that Jalen Hurts has scrambled and run for a touchdown? Every other one of his touchdown runs was a designed run.
Tush push.
Yeah, exactly.
For one, yeah.
Yeah, or different things of that nature, whether it was sneaks or other designed runs. All of them were scheduled. This is the first time since week 15 of 2023. So last year, didn't happen one time.
Yeah. You know what I really enjoyed? I heard Jason Kelce mention it recently, and they also mentioned it on the broadcast, because a lot of people kept getting so upset about the push from behind.
Sure.
Calling that the tush push. And I've heard Kelce and multiple other people reference it. Again, they referenced it on the broadcast. It's not the back end of things that really matters the most. It's that those guys, those four or five guys up front, I say the three in the middle mostly, but it's those five guys up front pushing underneath your defensive line. Those guys can't move, and now Jalen Hurts has, what, 2 yards of space right to follow them into an area, and that's how they continue to be. That's an interesting note on him, though, because he's such a smooth runner.
Yes.
He's able to escape the pocket so well. But he doesn't scramble that often because he has great weapons.
The betting odds are surprisingly low on this. Only 9.1% chance per Vegas that Jalen Carter is going to get suspended.
I'm kind of there.
You don't think he should get suspended? Yeah.
I think he should because it's gross.
Okay.
Spitting on people is gross. That's a fact.
Sure. But I'm not here to dispute that.
I totally can see how a entity that makes this decision goes, he missed the whole game already.
Right.
Like he was
so
ejected.
So he had a one-game suspension.
Kind of, yeah.
Ooh, like interesting.
If it had happened later in the game, maybe that changes my mind on
okay,
that.
Well, let me ask you this then. It happens in the last 3 minutes of the game. Now, I know that would have been vitally important to the game. It happens in the last 3 minutes of the game. Does he get suspended now?
Yeah, I think
okay.
So.
Interesting. By the way, over-under.
And they lose that game,
yes.
Too, because he was, yeah, that's interesting.
That would be great. Over-under, fine amount, $35,000.
Should
so
be that, yeah.
Just keep an eye out on that.
Should be that.
All right, Cowboys, Commanders, Giants. Where would you find gentlemen like to go next?
Got to go with the next team in the division. That's the Commanders.
All right, for the Commanders, once again, penalties is the name of the game. They committed 12 penalties, 7 of them were in the first half, and you have to look no further than that grounding penalty that Jaden Daniels had in the final few seconds of the second quarter. Went from the Giants 4-yard line. It cost them points in that instance. I know they won the game. They won the game comfortably, but something to keep an eye on going forward.
Are they tied for 16th place? Is that how this would work?
They're tied for first.
Because
there are only teams tied for first and tied for 17th.
I think they could be tied for second, third, fourth, fifth. And if your numbers are the way, I'm sorry, we'll get back to the Washingtons.
You see this sometimes when you'll see like three people tied for first and then somebody will have the gall to say that the next one is tied for
second. That's me. I have that gall.
That is outrageous.
Fun.
All right. Jaden Daniels, 16 of 21 completions for 204 yards and a touchdown.
That's it.
That's a specific subset.
Okay.
With 4 or fewer pass rushers.
Okay.
Now, here is the interesting part. Against the blitz, 3 for 9 for 29 yards. And you might be thinking, well, that's not particularly surprising. Many quarterbacks struggle against the blitz, and it is just one game.
Dak's at his best against the blitz.
That actually, and Jaden Daniels was as well. Last year, Jaden Daniels' passer rating against the blitz, 114.7.
Oh,
that
really?
That was the highest passer rating for a rookie quarterback against the blitz in 7 years. And in this one game, I realize that's all we have to break down. But keep an eye on that trend.
Yeah, I'm interested to see if they kind of studied the blitzes that he was up against last year.
Could be.
And they said, we're going to send it from different places. We're going to design, you know, to where he thinks it's this and it's going to actually be that. But that being said, too, Kevin, I will go along with and continue to say the Giants' defense is good.
Yeah,
I think they have a well-constructed defense, a well-built defense. Their quarterback, not so great.
Agreed.
And that causes problems for your team overall.
By the way, I decided to go track this down since we were talking about Deebo Samuel. 7 catches for 77 yards, in case you were curious what he did in that first game.
He had the 20-yard rushing touchdown, too.
Yes. 19 yards, but still.
Yeah, close enough. I'm sure he ran 1 yard past the end zone.
Yeah. When do we get those? You know, never mind, because I have questions about kickoff returns, and we're not going to get to that right
stats.
Now. But you raise an intriguing point. All right, Cowboys or Giants, as both are tied for 17.
They're not
tied for second. I keep seeing that.
Says you.
Somebody said if you're not first, you're last.
I get that. I understand that, which would be second in
this situation. This is the most true version of that.
Mm-hmm.
Right now in the NFL, if you're not first,
you literally
you are last.
Let's roll out the Cowboys because they stood the best chance of winning in this division.
Okay. I will certainly agree with that. Javonte Williams, 2 rushing touchdowns for the Cowboys in his first game with the Cowboys. He's the first Cowboys player to have multiple rushing touchdowns in his team debut since 1987 and Kelvin Edwards.
Oh, really?
Yep. In your face, Emmett.
Well, yep. Again, and you know, after settling back a little bit, how effective was Jalen Carter not being there? to that.
For sure.
Because, you know, you pointed out they were very putrid running the football for, what, 50 yards per? Well, it was a 50-yard, 49-yarder from.
But outside of that, they were fine. It was kind of tough.
But they, when they got in the red zone, they felt like we're running the ball.
Yes.
And again, go back and watch that second run right before. I think it was the second touchdown. Javonte Williams picks up, what, 7-8 yards after he touches the line of scrimmage because nobody there on the Eagles' defensive line was able to pull him down. I think Jalen Carter could make a difference there. But then again, you don't face Jalen Carter every week.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
So the Cowboys have some benefits. Now, Dexter Lawrence is
next. I was going to say, unfortunately, you will you face another version of him this
Booker's
week.
Got some tackles that he's got to deal with on the way here. But I like having him in the backfield. I think it's going to be quality running for the whole season.
By the way, we already talked about the total touchdown rushing touchdowns last year and how pathetic it was. The Cowboys had 0 games with multiple rushing touchdowns last year.
Well,
0-17.
It's because Dak was hurt. You know, there was no threat of the quarterback throwing a touchdown in the end zone. So, I think.
I guess that is one. No, way.
They're a better offensive unit with Booker. Zach Martin wasn't the same guy last year, and then you had, you know, pieces that you were trying to throw in there. They're a better offensive group, and hopefully we'll get to, at 1 o'clock, we'll get into some levels of concern. And we'll ask about your tackle.
Now, the Cowboys defense registered 12 run stuffs against Philadelphia. I realize, especially on the interior, I think we all felt significantly better as the game went along about the run defense. Now, does that solve an issue that it feels like this defense has had for 3 years? No, but Kenny Clark, Solomon Thomas, Sam Williams each had 2 run stuff. So that is something to potentially build off of. Or you might think if you can't seal off the edge, it's not going to make a lick of difference.
Oh, man, dude. That's interesting because your entire defense did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
Except for sealing off the, like,
yes,
like,
and then you did an awful
Barkley
job.
didn't go off.
Yep.
AJ Brown, Devontae, none of them went off.
Absolutely.
But Jalen Hurts was the one that beat you. And that's frustrating. I mean, it's very frustrating because that tells you you're not a complete defense. You know, if you can't completely shut down something, then it tells you you're not a complete defense, and they still have that to work with.
I'm going to be interested to see if Eberflus dials up the blitz as we go along in the season. I know that's never particularly been his MO, but he did not blitz a whole lot Thursday night. And because of that, in passing situations, Hurts, 16 of 19 for 135 yards and a 96.3 QB rating. So I know he said you can scheme pressure. We're going to keep working on that.
Did you feel like the second half adjustments? I mean, I think both defenses made great second half adjustments,
yeah,
but I felt like the Cowboys made some adjustments, and I thought scheming up some blitzes was a necessary key to that.
There is no question their defense looked worlds better in the second half. But then again, I thought Philly's did too. Philly's defense shouldn't get a pass for the first half. They did not look good there either.
And that being said, if Eberflus is like, look, I'm not dialing up blitzes until the end of the game. If we have close games, I'll dial them up then, and then I'll be fine with that. If you're in it and you are able to pull off blitzes at the end of a game, that'll be helpful.
Now, the good news for the Giants is it's no longer the season opener. The bad news, of course, is that they still are 0-1, but Brian Daboll hasn't won in week one for 3 years. In that time, the Giants in the first half have been outscored 67-6. And had no touchdowns in any of those games.
Jeez.
That feels like, not to say you're guaranteed to lose, but if you have a season opener with no touchdowns in the first half, that doesn't feel good. If it's your third straight season opener with no touchdowns in the first half, well, it's easy to see why you continue to lose those games. Now, their offense struggled mightily in that game, and there was a point in the game where the Giants punted.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, 4 straight times and failed to get across their own 35. You know, a lot of times people will be like, oh, they couldn't get past midfield. The Giants had 4 straight possessions where they didn't get past their own 35. When Washington scores, that's where you can possibly get the ball on the kickoff.
I might be the only person in America still vying for Brian Daboll. That still believes that he's a good coach.
Malik Nabers does not. Did you see in the broadcast they tried to go, oh, yeah, they solved it, adapted up. And what you actually saw is Daboll attempt that, and Malik Nabers is like, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of the game, he had his towel over his head, which I know has rubbed some people the wrong way.
He just wants to win.
Yeah, you know what? I honestly, and that's a good question, I did not have a particular issue with that because it looked like he was frustrated that they were losing the game.
Yeah.
Not frustrated that he wasn't getting his numbers. I had 5 for 71, but he looked mad that they were getting housed.
Did you see him and Jaden Daniels before the game? You
know, I did not.
Shadow boxing, laughing with each other and hugging and stuff. And now everybody's like, look, Saquon Barkley, Daniel Jones. Obviously, Malik Nabers is going to be with Washington next year.
Okay. That would be confusing.
Because
I actually would really want to know what that deal looks
Indiana
like.
Indiana Jones just crushing up there in Indianapolis.
Man, what a neat name. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, how about we do a little AM on the FM?
We got the question of the day. Plus, I found a way to make running fun. Next on The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Want to remind everybody, tomorrow we'll be doing our show live from Globe Life Field, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., getting you ready for another Rangers-Brewers throwdown if you want to come by and say hello to us.
Also on Saturday, I'll be at the Derby Shire again for an FC Dallas watch party. So come on out and say hi at the Derby Shire. We always have some really cool stuff to give away there. Plus, they have amazing pub-style beers, and their fish and chips. You remember our boy told us he was like, fish and chips is where it's at there. Their fish and chips, legitimately the best I've ever had.
Ooh, right now, the best I've ever had. It's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, 0 for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. My name is Alec Medford, the man that they call the pride of Mansfield, Texas, 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line to answer today's question of the day. Plus, I found another weird way to make running fun. We'll get
you
to
said
that here
another.
In just a little bit.
Well, what's the first way that makes running fun?
Remember, I want to say 2 or 3 weeks ago, something like that, I mentioned some sort of marathon. It was like a last man standing marathon to where basically it's a giant thing of like ego, where it's like you want to be the last person standing. And I saw in another state, it was away from New York. I don't remember which state it was in, but I saw a TikTok series where some guy did one of those last man standing marathon contests. It lasted 3 days. They kept going for three days.
Holy moly.
Just continuous. And obviously, they're jogging very slow, but they have like a time frame that they have to run a mile in. And then they get a little bit of a break. Then they go and do it again. They lasted 3 days in that competition.
Wow.
This one, I don't think it's going to take you 3 days, but it's a lot more fun. We'll get to that here in just a little bit. But gentlemen, the national day calendar is spoken. It's National Wiener Schnitzel Day, if you're into that.
Is that place still around?
It is.
I used to love that freaking place.
Next to the Hypermart, wasn't there?
Yes.
Over there?
Yes, there was. I don't know where to find them now.
There's one off of 20 in Grand Prairie.
Okay.
Which is conveniently by my house, so I've been there a few times. Probably more than I'm willing to admit, because, you know, who just seeks out a hot dog like that outside of a venue?
How many times is too many times to go to a fast food establishment, like what the same one in a week?
What about in a day?
Ooh. If you go twice in a day, like you do you.
Well,
I might have questions.
On Friday, I might go to Taco Bueno twice.
Okay.
One chain dinner. Why not? You know, I got a football game to prep for, may as well. But it's funny because Peyton was actually just having this conversation with Carter yesterday because he said in the past 7 days, he had been to Whataburger 3 times. And he didn't know if that was too much or
no,
not.
No, that doesn't feel crazy to me. I thought you were going to
Whataburger
say
once a day.
Like 8. See? And then but 3, that's fine.
Once a day for Whataburger,
okay.
I
believe.
If I had Plano money, I'd go once a day. Mm. But I don't. But it is also National Teddy Bear Day. You got really excited about National Teddy Bear Day, Kevin.
I did, because in Germany, I went to this teddy bear factory that is where they invented the teddy bear. Huh. Like they had like the first teddy bear is invented by this lady.
Roosevelt?
Not Teddy Roosevelt, but actually he was part of, I mean, that's why they named it that. But this lady in a wheelchair in Germany, and we bought some stuff there because everything still gets handmade there. So yeah, wow. It was really cool to see like the first actual like teddy bears and the evolution of that.
Real quick, 2 different texts. One, I work at Chick-fil-A and eat here every day. It's too much. And then another one from the 817, different text. I work at Chick-fil-A. We literally see some of the same people every single day.
See, I'm not going to count it against you if you work there and eat there. Like, I know that second one.
You see repeat customers.
But also, if you work there, especially a fast food place, I could see how you'd be like, I eat here every single day. But that is great information right there. Because mm-hmm. I bet for some people, like, that's just part of your on the way to work or just you want something delicious. That's what you do every day.
So for National Teddy Bear Day, it gets me thinking about, you know, that's usually something that most kids have growing up. And there's always that one item or few items that you keep, no matter how old you get. So what is that childhood memento that you've kept around? 877-881-1053, because I still have my first ever blanket. It is like maybe, I don't know, 2.5 feet wide. So can it do anything for me nowadays? No. But I still keep it because I remember going to the doctor's office you know, whenever I was sick and I would have that wrapped up around me, you know, for comfort or whatever. I grew up with that thing, so I have to keep it around. And then I do have a teddy bear that I still keep. I think he's sitting on a shelf right now. It was Thomas the Train. So he was dressed like the conductor.
If you've ever wondered where my ruthless side comes from, it might be from my mom. She took away my first blanket one night when I was sleeping because I had probably gotten too old to have it. Well, but this also should have been the first sign of my my OCD, because it was like fabric in the middle, but on the edges it had that kind of like velvety
satin.
Yeah. And I needed to just like keep touching that part of it like over and over.
You're a texture kind of person. Yeah. Carter is the same way. Like textures are a very big deal.
Yes.
He's one of those people that like he can't, if he sees something that's an interesting texture, he has to reach out and touch it.
I get it.
You're just like, what? Like, can you not stop that? And he's like, I can't. Intrusive thoughts. It's the blanket. It was given to me by one of my mom's friends. She handmade it out of yarn. And it looks like scrambled eggs. Like it's yellow and white, kind of. It looks like scrambled eggs, and it kind of looks like Big Bird a little bit too, you know.
Okay.
Because he's yellow. And so I love that blanket. We used it to make forts. One time I put my sister on the roof and she wouldn't jump down. So I said, hey, jump into my blanket. She refused to do that too. I don't understand.
You understand, right, Alec?
I think I do, but continue.
Neighbor ended up having to get a ladder and help her down. This is why my parents probably shouldn't have left me at home alone. That thing, I used it as a cape. It was everything, and now it is in a box at the house, but it is very easily gettable, you know? Never had a hole in it. None of the yarn ever came loose. It's still in perfect condition. My sister's blankie completely destroyed.
That's what you call it, yeah.
Her blankie is completely destroyed. We have a baggie of shreds of cloth.
Do you think it's because she was careless with it?
Yeah, mine was amazing. Hers was not. Obviously, mine was just more durable though, because mine was, you know, all the things I used it for. But my kids, they all have their blankets still, too. Avery has his. He has his little Georgie that he sleeps with, too. He's 17 years old, still sleeps with those things.
Do you think he wanted you to say that on the radio?
Carter has his. Lucy's, she has her blanket. Her blankie has turned into three different blankies. Because it's just fallen apart. It was the one they you swaddle with and stuff.
Yes.
Those things just don't last.
So you're not planning on taking it away from them in the middle of the night while they're asleep?
No. Dude, I do remember, though, when Avery was little and we decided it's time for no more pacifier. And so Adrian took all the pacifiers and hid them from him. Somehow he found them. We couldn't find our child. We were where is our child? In the house. And it was a small house, too. Walking around, and I look underneath the bed. He has all the pacifiers in his hand. He's like two or three years old or something. All of them in his hands, and he's hiding in the back of the thing, and he's just shaking in the back. And I was like, buddy, it's time. So what I did, I took him to the back, had him throw them away in the dumpster in the back. So he got to, that was him taking ownership of it.
Yeah.
We put it in a Build-A-Bear. And when it was time, and so like Noah still has it, but he was like, it's time for it to go away. One of the few times, Alec, I ever saw Jess get really mad at me about a parenting thing is I said, man, how hilarious would it be if I was like, hey, Noah.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I tied it to like these helium balloons and he just had to watch it float away. She did not think that was funny at all. I didn't do that. I just said, what
Jeez.
If? I said, what if? I didn't actually do it.
You and these hypotheticals, man. From the 817, still have my stuffed puppy from Montgomery Ward that I begged for. It's pushing 40 years old.
I had my pound puppy for the longest time. Dude, you know what a pound puppy is?
I do, actually. Okay. Yes. Yeah, and...
I just got a text from my wife.
Oh, no.
She is at a luncheon today.
Fancy.
Chris Arnold is emceeing the luncheon.
That's the least shocking thing you could have told me today. That is
That's
the
amazing,
least
though.
Shocking
He's just
thing.
Everywhere, dude. He's everywhere.
Hey, tell her to ask him if he can get a Harrison Barnes jersey autograph for
okay.
me.
Okay. All right.
Also, not very shocking at all. But I've seen this at least four or five times on the fan text that people still have their first baseball glove. Which makes me sad because mine was stolen at a game. Mm. So I don't have my first one. I have my second one, but I'm just going to act like it was my first one, even though I just told the truth on 100,000 watts. 877-881-1053, that one childhood memento that you still have with you. But I do see this one on the baseball glove topic from the 214. They have their first that they got autographed by Oral Hershiser.
Oh,
have it sitting in a
topical.
Bookcase. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Oh, man, he's so bitter.
Yes, I love that. The face. Please, Twitch and YouTube, Dallas Fan Cam. Go look at the face that Corey just made at me. It was actually kind of terrifying.
And see the Tolo hat you can get Friday at Taco Bueno.
I know, it's right. Actually sick. I'm jealous. And gentlemen, I found a way to make running fun. I can't take credit for this. It was not my idea. I did find this. Again, another New York City Run Club thing. I guess
New York City?
Yeah, New York. I mean, hey, when you travel by foot a lot, I guess you get into running.
That's true.
And I've seen any like cool creative run club ideas I've seen lately on social media have been from New York. And Prince Kev on TikTok is a runner in the city. Yes, Prince Kev with two Vs, by the way.
No.
And it appears to be... this account appears to be the brains behind the new, you've heard of the 999 challenge. How about the 10-10-10 challenge? And what this is comprised of, 10 miles, 10 slices of pizza, and 10 beers. So every mile you take down a slice of pizza and a pint of beer.
That is a lot.
Every mile. And they are doing this challenge in New York City. Prince Kev has... created this and
you have to do it a certain amount of time.
No, you just got to complete the challenge itself.
Okay.
You got to get all of that down and you got to do the 10 miles.
See, because if I can walk that, I think I can do it.
Well,
I'm not.
What if you have to be running, just not?
I'm screwed, man. Okay. I don't want to eat a piece of pizza and go for a run at all. Like, that's not something I want.
And the cool thing is, this guy, Prince Kev, I'm going to keep saying his name, but he actually drew up a route where he would hit a different pizzeria every mile. So instead of just going in laps, he went to a different place every single time. So 10 different pizzerias, because everything's so compact in New York, he was able to map that out and make it happen. So 10 different pizza places, and he even switched up which kind of beer he had at each stop too. He didn't just get the same thing. So creative. I like it.
That is impressive.
You're impressive.
He's talking to you, Alec. Aww. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. McCarthy makes history and the Bears remain. Well, the Bears.
They're the Bears.
We'll do next right here on The Fan.
McCarthy passes, caught, spinning grab by Aaron Jones. And somehow, some way, the Minnesota Vikings are on top.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip.
Dip it and rope it.
What was that?
Because.
Did you get lost in the middle of your words?
No, I got lost because I was trying to read a totally different story whilst.
Dude.
I was speaking.
I hate the word whilst, but that happens. You ever, like, you're in the middle of typing and you hear a word and then you just type the word and you're like, dadgummit, why did I type that word? Okay, I got you.
Because it was a little confusing to me, because I'll start with this. So executives from ESPN and Fox have questioned the Nielsen methodology used to get the YouTube viewers.
Right.
And I was just surprised to see that, because I thought the YouTube number was underperforming for a game of that magnitude. And so their big issue is like, hey, just like, where's the transparency? I know exactly how our ratings get counted. I do not feel not radio. Oh, okay. I have no idea. I still kind of think it's four people carrying a notebook around and that's how they determine the ratings. But that's still been helpful to us. So thank you very much to everybody who's been listening and making us the top sports show in the DFW.
You're damn right. Thank you.
Now, so that's what ESPN and Fox were complaining about. They're like, hey, can you explain this to us? And it sounds like Nielsen's like, no.
They just refuse?
Yeah. They're not giving them any information as of now. So perhaps that's why some of those comments have become leaked.
All right.
Let's go back to the Monday night football game. You know what? I just want to go ahead and hear another cut. Can you give me cut number 5? Once again, J.J. McCarthy doing stuff.
McCarthy out of the shotgun, milking a 3-point lead. It is a run-pass option. McCarthy takes off to the right.
Stand
to
out.
The 10. Ah! Stutter steps at the 5. Touchdown! He's J.J. McCarthy, and he runs for a Vikings touchdown.
Now, you might have noticed that was Vikings radio, whereas the first one was not, if you were curious about the enthusiasm gap. There is a lot of different things that happen in this game. Most importantly, the Vikings defeat the Bears 27-24. When the Bears were winning late in the third quarter, they were up 17-6. Minnesota had a 7.7% chance of winning. But the Bears, they did what they do, including, good to see, new coach still doesn't solve clock management, as after they scored the touchdown, instead of just trying to kick the ball out of the end zone and keep the clock at 2:02, thus allowing a play to be run before you hit the 2-minute warning, because obviously you're trying to get the ball back. If you're down by 3 points, you're trying to get the ball back late in the game. Instead, they kicked it to Ty Chandler and your boy, mm-hmm. the Vikings coach. He was like, hey, take it out. Take it out. Even though, Like, it might not have been totally advantageous field position wise. That ran the clock down. So there was now no longer a 2-minute warning for their next play.
Yeah. The
smart football.
Even still, inexcusable to give up 21 in the fourth quarter.
Fair.
Like, I
agree.
And that's part of what you just pointed out. Like, I think Ben Johnson's probably going into the fourth quarter pretty happy. He's like, look, my defense has been standing up for me. We got a pretty good chance here. This is nice. But that's a tough loss for the Bears, man. Especially at home against a rookie quarterback. I know it's not his rookie season, but it's his first outing there. And I just felt like that first Bears drive, I was like, oh man, if this is what we're going to have to contend with, this is going to be tough.
Is there any part of you that kind of felt like, I don't know, it's just one play, but Odunze sort of saved the day with his amazing sideline tiptoe catch to keep it going?
Yeah, probably so.
But you're right. They did just march down the field and score, and you're like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, okay, I like what I was seeing out of the play calling. Checkdowns were coming out fast too.
Yeah.
To DeAndre Swift.
Yeah.
Like, Caleb Williams' biggest problem was last year was holding onto the ball too long. And then last night it seemed like immediately Ben Johnson had been in his ear. You get the ball out quick, make decisions fast. And then it turned out he just doesn't pay attention to the rest of the field for the rest of the game. So
there were some amazing numbers for Vikings fans and for J.J. McCarthy coming out of this. He was the first Vikings quarterback to throw multiple touchdowns in his NFL debut since Fran Tarkenton did so back in 1961.
Not even Dante Culpepper?
No.
That's impressive.
It is. Now.
Or Brett Favre?
No. Not Brett Favre.
Okay.
All right. Let's and that was in his NFL debut. Not his Vikings.
Gotcha.
Debut.
Steve DeBerg.
No, not Steve DeBerg. Now, let's talk about another awesome name. Per NFL researcher Dante Koplowitz Fleming, J.J. McCarthy also became the first starting quarterback to record a comeback of 10 points or greater in his first NFL start since Steve Young in 1985. And J.J. McCarthy is the first to do so on the road since 1950, when I guess they decided to start keeping stats because they were like, we might be able to overtake college football. I'll look into that. But yeah, so across the board, impressive night for the Vikings. Now, you want to talk about adding insult to injury.
1948. Actually, Kevin, the NFL began keeping official statistics in 1932.
But that's when people still didn't care.
And they didn't know what they were. It was chalk or something.
I still think it's weird that the NFL didn't decide that the sack was a relevant statistic until they had been playing football for 45 years.
And now here we are trying to make pressures a big stat.
Yes! Maybe people will look back at this era and they'll be like, you're so stupid. They didn't even count pressures until, whenever. The Bears fans were informed, or season ticket holders were at least, of the Bears' plans to finalize a stadium in Arlington Heights. Now, I have a cousin who lives in Arlington Heights, so I think that's kind of neat. But they made it really clear. And they tried to do that thing where, whenever a coach or a manager gets fired and they're like, hey, they did such a great job. And I'm like, but not really, right? Or else you wouldn't have fired them. So it's the same thing here. They're like, hey, don't think about it as us leaving. Think about it as us expanding. And if you live right there, you're probably like, well, that doesn't help at all. But new stadium, and they also said they're hoping to host the Super Bowl as soon as 2031.
Speaking of,
Soldier Field's been there more than 100 years.
I just saw this morning the city of Dallas is working on approving an HEB in Dallas. So Mike,
man,
still might not get it because a lot of the community doesn't want it. So good luck, Mike.
Would this be the first time in history that Mike has attended a city council meeting? And he's like, yes, Mike Bassick, Oak Cliff, I am here to tell these fart heads that we need an HEB. I will also go to that city council meeting if Mike is going to be there.
Open your eyes.
All right. So one more thing to go along with that game. Did you see that Peyton Manning handwrote a letter to the Pope that he should come on to the Manning cast? I
What's the Pope going to talk about?
I mean, he's a sports fan.
But doesn't he have other things to do?
Probably.
Talk to God?
Well, maybe he'll throw out fiery sports opinions and Jesus opinions. I don't know.
I don't know if you can do both of those.
I bet you can. All right. And so, you know, did he just send it to one Pope way? I don't actually know the address of the Vatican. It has a proper address. I wonder, and that made me think, I want to know, like, who checks the mail?
It's 00120. Nah. CITT with an A in Del Vaticano, Vatican City.
Hmm. So what I want to know, Alec, first of all, what did you think about that pronunciation? But also, who handles the mail at the Vatican? Who gets to decide what makes its way to the Pope and what doesn't?
They read it and they're like, yeah. This is ridiculous.
They're like, the Manning cast, your ratings went down. You're out. You can't
light a bush on fire.
All right, couple more things for you. We already told you about the injury to George Kittle, but also tough injury for the Saints, who are already terrible. Julian Blackman, who is in his first season with the Saints, I do believe, he looks like he's going to be out for the year with a shoulder issue. He has had 7 interceptions combined in the last 2 years. And then this is a fascinating back and forth. Geno Smith, while he set the Raiders record for most passing yards in the first game with the team, you go to Ashton Jeanty, 19 carries for 38 yards.
Not good.
Ouch.
Not good enough.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the Brewers have the best record in baseball, but the Rangers have Michael Helman and Jacob Latz. Next on The Fan.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.